Now, if you're a regular Tuesday morning listener, you'll know that here on Verulam in the Morning, we are counting down to COP26. If you aren't a regular listener, you might not know what COP26 is. It's the big climate change conference taking place in Scotland at the end of October. And each week, we're talking to a different local person about things that we can do to make a difference for the planet. Today, we're joined by Becky Alexander, of course, food writer for the Hearts Advertiser. Hello, Becky.
Hello there.
So now we're going to talk today about the environmental impact of food, aren't we? Last week, actually, we were talking to Caroline Wilson about food waste. This week, we're talking about the different environmental impacts that different foods have. And you've written a blog, haven't you, all about eating more plants?
That's right. And I've actually got a book coming out in January on the same sort of subject. So it's an issue very close to my heart. And I think there's been a lot of noise around this whole subject in the last few months. We've just had a report published by it's the National Food Strategy. It was a huge project led by Henry Dimbleby and had all sorts of people involved in it. And one of the things that they found in that is that the UK, we really do need to cut back on the amount of meat that we're eating. We've become very casual about it. And I think it's a really interesting thing. It's really about our eating habits. And it's almost like an easy thing to do. If we can cut back on the amount of meat we eat, we actually really do cut down on our carbon emissions. And, you know, it takes a lot of... It's quite complicated to raise an animal and then transport it and turn it into something we buy in the supermarket. So,
I guess that's true. As opposed to growing something out of the ground, what you're fundamentally doing, I suppose, is growing something out of the ground, harvesting it, moving it to somewhere to feed to animals. Then the animals, the animals themselves create emissions anyway, don't they? And then we're carting them off to market and the abattoir, and then to us. It is quite a complicated chain of relatively energy and resource sapping quantities, isn't it?
It is. And then we turn them into sort of fancy sort of burrito boxes and all the sort of, you know, certain triple decker sandwiches in a package in a supermarket. We've gone slightly crazy with it. I mean, I'm not a hardline on this. I sort of think if we'd stuck to the days when people just had a roast on a Sunday and maybe fish on a Friday, I don't think we'd be in this mess. What's happened is people have got into the habit of eating meat every day and sometimes twice a day in the evening and at lunchtime. And we don't really need it. I mean, there's been a lot of research into how much protein we actually need, iron and all those things people worry about and think about. And we don't need as much as we think we need. Apparently in the UK, we eat twice as much animal protein as any of us need. And we can get it from other things like, for example, butter beans, chickpeas, lentils, all of those sorts of things. Good old baked beans, bellotti beans, cannellini beans, nuts. There's all sorts of things out there that are going to be a good source of protein for us.
Yeah, there is a bit of a myth around, isn't there, that you can't be healthy and eat no or less meat.
Yeah, I think especially with such an interest in sort of fitness, you know, I'm a runner. I'm in the local running club, the Striders. And, you know...
Oh, well done you. I can't run 5 inches, but...
It's balance, isn't it? You've got to be a food writer and do some exercise. And so you do need protein. You do. It's important for you. It's important for your muscle growth and repair. But you can get that from other sources. So I think people can sort of be slightly more moderate. You know, I'm not saying we all have to turn into vegans. I think that's hard. That's quite a hard path to take. But I do think people could probably cut back more. And I think, for example, I mean, we were chatting earlier, Nick. One of the things is, for example, if you imagine like a steak or a joint of beef has the same carbon footprint as a flight to Paris, from London to Paris, I don't think people realise quite how...
That is quite incredible, isn't it?
How bad for the planet that is, really.
That is quite incredible, and it makes you realise how much it takes to raise cattle and so on, and to turn them into meat for us to eat.
Yeah.
So if we're thinking, if sorry, if you're talking to someone who does eat quite a lot of meat and doesn't really have that sort of recipe repertoire, if you like, to think, well, what else can I use? You mentioned a few things like beans and so on. And anything you can sort of give starter tips on about, all right, how could you start? Don't make it too difficult for us, but how can I start by having a plant-based meal, you know, on a Wednesday instead of my usual meat?
Yeah, I think, well, I remember how that feels, to be honest, because about 5 years ago, I did eat meat and I don't now really. And it does feel quite daunting if that's what you're used to cooking and prepping and you've got a family or, you know, your partner likes to eat meat. It's quite tricky. It does feel quite tricky. One of my top tips would be to start at lunchtime. So you can maybe make the switch there. So rather than, say, for example, buying ham or, you know, having a burger perhaps, if you were going out for a lunch, maybe don't. Choose something else. That lunchtime feels, I think, quite entry level. I think that feels quite easy. But actually, that's just as important as an evening meal. So if people are thinking, oh, this just sounds too hard, just stop eating it at lunchtime. You could have, I don't know, you could have some eggs on toast. You could have an omelette. You could have beans on toast. You could have a wrap with black beans in it. You could have, obviously, hummus is very popular.
You're making me feel hungry now, Becky.
This is my life, honestly. I'm constantly talking about food. It's a nightmare.
I could live on hummus, actually, I reckon. It's so good.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, eating out. So if you buy your lunch out or you're eating out, that's really easy because everywhere does good veggie options now. So it's a chance to try something new. You know, I eat a lot of falafel. Obviously, if you're going to a Turkish place for lunch or just going to a sandwich shop, you can buy those there. It's quite an easy swap. So there we go. Start at lunchtime.
Start at lunchtime, learn a few things, and then maybe branch out a bit. I'm sure there are plenty of recipe resources for sort of larger meals and so on, are there, that are completely plant-based?
Oh, there are so many now. If you really are struggling for ideas, I would say go and buy a new cookery book. Head into our lovely Books on the Hill or Waterstones and just buy yourself a nice new cookery book. One I recommend for people is called The Green Roasting Tin. And it's a brilliant book where you literally just, you put all the ingredients, by a woman called Rukmini, and you just put all your ingredients in the tin, put it in the oven, and then you have your lovely dinner. So it's
So not too much washing up. That sounds like a plus point to me. Give us the name of that book again.
It's called The Green Roasting Tin. And she's got a very best-selling series of lots of sort of roasting tin type meals. And that's a great one. So you could make a tray of that for your evening meal and probably have some leftovers as well. That's a good one. Everybody has done a vegetarian book now. I mean, whoever your favourite chef is, whether it's a Jamie Oliver or a Nigella or whoever, will have some recipes for you. And really, you only need two or three. And if you manage two or three a week, you're cutting down. And that's probably all we all need to do, really. That would be a good start.
Yeah, and that might be the equivalent of two or three flights to Paris, mightn't it? Which is pretty impressive.
Isn't that impressive?
So, Becky, you've written a blog post. It's available on sustainablestalbans.org. Tell us about the sort of things you cover in that post.
Well, one of the things I wanted to say in that blog post is, because I'm all about sort of writing about the local restaurants and cafes, and I wanted to mention a few of the places that do really good veggie food. So, and also I just thought it makes it sound less boring to people because people don't like to be told what not to do. So I thought, well, I'd say, well, hang on, why don't you go into all these lovely things? I mentioned going out for dinner. So sometimes when I chat to people, they say, oh, I like to go out for dinner. I like to go and have a steak or, you know, something like that. And actually, that's not very challenging for a chef to cook a steak. If you want to go out and sort of get value for going out for dinner, go to somewhere like Tabouré, who do things like stuffed courgette flowers or make an amazing truffle fava bean dip. You know, things that you probably would never make yourself. And they're really, really good at. So you can go out and have and eat something really lovely. And the other thing is, if there's something you haven't tried before, say, for example, tofu, our sort of Thai restaurants in St. Albans are brilliant at tofu recipes. So you could go out for dinner and have something like tofu that you might not have tried before.
It's a really good point, actually. Why go out for dinner and get something that you could cook? Why not get something you don't think you'd really want to put all the effort into cooking, but a chef can do a really good job of? I think that's a fantastic tip, actually.
There you go. And, you know, that goes for anywhere. I mean, it goes for your local cafe. You know, it doesn't have to be an expensive place. You can, you know, make that decision wherever you go. And also vegetarian food tends to be cheaper. So if you go out for dinner and you choose the vegetarian option, it's often more affordable. So that can make that more available to more people.
Okay, well, Becky, if people want to know more about what they can do and some of your great ideas on eating more plants, they can head to sustainablestalbans.org and see your blog post there. Becky Alexander, local food writer, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.